What's up, City Hope Church? Definitely want to welcome Foley, Mobile, the guys at the correctional centers. I'll tell you what, wherever you are, whatever campus you're in, put your hands together and let's just welcome our church family. Can we do that? So what I get to do is I get to wrap up this series we've been in, The Way of a Disciple. And my plan all the way up till about 2 minutes ago was to just jump right in it. But I want to take about 2 minutes before I do that. And Pastor Trey is not in the room that I'm aware of. And let me just tell you how excited I am about where we are as a church. I talk to a lot of you. And you know, over the last 2 to 3 years, there's been this stirring. And man, I remember a couple of years ago, we'd have a night of worship. We're like, man, God's doing something. What is, you know? And I feel like we are closer to that than we've ever been. And when I was praying this morning, I was just thanking God for what, and I don't even know what it completely looks like yet, but I know what he's done is he started off 2 or 3 years ago with just started stirring some things in our pastor, and he didn't know what it was, but he knew that God was about to do something. And just over the last year and a half or so, I feel like God started showing him some things. So he's communicating it to Pastor Trey, and Pastor Trey's communicating and bringing our staff along with him. And I just love the picture, the fact that God sees us, he's with us, and he's speaking to our pastor, and our pastor's leading us so well. And I just wanted to acknowledge Pastor Trey. Is that okay? And he's the type of guy, I probably wouldn't do it if he's in the room, because he doesn't like that. When we were right at the end of worship, I heard these words, and this may be for somebody that, I don't know what you're in the middle of, but I heard these words, and this is kind of the way I would put it, but God speaks to me the way I would talk, I guess. But I feel like God said, hang tight. So many of you are like, man, we're here, we're ready. But I feel like there's somebody maybe, or some of you that are just like, I don't know, I don't know. And you're just kind of, you're just not there. You're not sure. And for some of you, maybe one person online at the correctional facilities, Mobile, Foley, right here, I don't know. Maybe somebody just needed, hey, hang tight. God's saying, hang tight. I'm about to do something that's going to change your eternal destiny, man. It's just going to be amazing. So there you go. That's free. So like I said, I get to wrap up this series, and I believe this series is going to be one that we're going to look back for months and years to come. Just a very pivotal series for the direction of our church. And I thought, man, what better way to start this off than with a quiz, right? You like that? So I was reading the other day, I don't even know the name of the book, but it was talking about how to remember things, because my goodness, I need that so bad. I didn't think that would go over that well. I really didn't. I was like, but really and truly, it's like, so, and it was talking about taking a quiz, and especially if you can't like really fail it. So I thought, well, we could do this, because for every message, we've started with a definition of discipleship. All right. And some of you are thinking, some of you got your notebooks out, and I don't even care if you cheat and look at them right now. But here's what I'm going to do in a minute. I'm going to put that definition up here, but there's going to be 3 fill in the blanks. All right. And when we get to those words, I'm not going to say a word, and I want you to just spit it out. And here's what I want. If you know it, say it like you know it. If you don't know it, but you think you know it, just be bold enough to be wrong out loud. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to celebrate you so much more than the person who doesn't say a word. All right? So we're going to do this. We're going to read through it again. I'm going to get quiet, so if you don't say anything, I'm just not going to feel awkward. I'm just going to be here. So here we are, everybody, Foley, Mobile, Correctional Center's got everybody. Y'all with me? Yes. Don't, come on. Y'all with me? Yes. All right, here we go. Let's do this thing. It's our quiz. A disciple is one who
lies,
and like Jesus. Oh my gosh. I was ready to do this twice, and I'm not going to do it twice. We're just going to fill in the blanks for you. Finds, follows, and become like. I hope everybody else everywhere did that great. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was amazing. So this is where we've been. This idea of being a disciple and following, apprenticeship and all this. And I thought it was neat this week. I think it was this week. I don't know. Your weeks ever run together? I was riding down the road and I looked up and I saw a bumper sticker on the back of a car and I could tell there was some other writing, but the largest word on the bumper sticker was Jesus. I'm like, that's something. Let me get a little closer because you don't ever know what's coming. You know what I mean? Like, it could be woohoo or it could be, oh man, you know? So I get up a little bit closer and then I see this bumper sticker and this is what it reads. It's really funny. Do you follow Jesus this closely? All right, so really quick, I didn't take this photo. All right, I'm passing a vehicle. When I get close enough to read it, I see this. I'm like, I want to slow down and take a picture, but I didn't do it because, you know, I mean, I would. I would absolutely drive and take a picture at the same time, but I thought, I'm not going to do it. And if this is a real thing, I could find this thing somewhere on Google. And so sure enough, I went back and it's a real bumper sticker. You can actually get a sticker like that. Do you follow Jesus this closely? But I love the idea of that. And the question I would pose to you is, are you following Jesus as close as you're following that person on the interstate that's going 5 miles an hour under the speed limit? You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if this is okay to say, it's not in my notes either, but I don't like a tailgater, you know what I mean? I mean, I just don't like you to just get, but I don't think Jesus minds it. He's like, just come on, follow me where I'm going. So here's the idea. It's this whole idea of what we've kind of defined Christianity as, is yes, I believe in Jesus, but we just kind of go on doing the same thing we've always done versus yes, I believe in Jesus, and then actually like following the ways of Jesus. And again, the series, The Way of a Disciple, what does that look like? And if you've been listening, it has challenged our thinking. You know, am I really following? Am I really becoming like Jesus? If you're not paying attention, it hasn't challenged anything and you're just having a good time and stay with us. It'd be great. We're going somewhere. But here's what I was thinking. I was like, if I were to give out a survey with three questions, and you all answered honestly. And the first question was this. Listen, the first question was, are you a Christian? Another way you could ask that, have you found Jesus? Going to our definition, have you found Jesus? I think many people listening to me would say, yeah, for sure. Some wouldn't. Some would say, no, not yet. And that's okay. You're at the right place. This is a great place to find him. But a lot of people would say, yeah. And then if we took it another layer and it's like a little bit deeper, are you following Jesus? So what I'm saying there, are there regular rhythms of prayer, conversation with God, talking, listening, spending time in the word? I think those yeses would drop a little bit. I think we have some that have found Jesus. They prayed a prayer, but they're not actually doing that, those regular rhythms. And then the third question would be this, are you becoming like Jesus? What do you mean by that, Dale? I mean, like, the attributes of Jesus, are those being seen at home? Are those being seen at work? Are those being seen at play, wherever you are? Like, throughout the day, are people looking at you and getting something other than just the regular you? Like, there's some attributes here, like, maybe from Jesus they're picking up. And I think that number, the number of yeses would probably be a little bit lower. And that's why we're here. That's why we're where we are now. And I don't want you to take this as any type of judgment or condemnation. What this is an invitation. That's what we've been talking about this whole 6 weeks up to now, is this invitation, because that's what Jesus did. He just extends this invitation, but it also comes with a challenge. And so many of us, we love the invitation. We love to be invited. But then the challenge that Jesus poses to us is a lot of times just too much. We don't know really what's in it for us. It's a little bit unclear. But anytime Jesus extends that invitation, again, we've been talking about this, it comes with this challenge. And I'm gonna give you a few examples. And the first one is this in Matthew 16. Jesus says to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Now, taking up your cross doesn't mean a whole lot to us. It meant a lot to them. People were murdered on crosses, so it meant a lot to them. But I'll tell you what means a lot to us is giving up our own way. We all have a way. We all have a will. We all have a plan, kind of where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and all that. But to give that up, he says, listen, you got to give that thing up in order to follow me. That doesn't sound exciting. So a lot of us stop right there. Let me show you another example. Jesus was talking to a gentleman and they called him the rich man. And Jesus said, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, there's still one thing you haven't done. He just talked to him. The guy said, hey, what do I need to do? And he said, follow the commandments. And the guy said, oh, I've done that. So he's ready to go. He said, there's still one thing you haven't done. He said, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus didn't say, hey, bring me your money. He didn't say, go bring me your stuff. He said, sell your stuff, give your money away, and then come follow me. Because Jesus knew that the guy's way, his way was about things. It was about stuff. And he knew that's what had that guy kind of held up. And he says, do that and then come follow me. Honestly, it doesn't seem fair. If you hear that, you're like, really, Jesus? One more quick example. Jesus called to them, Andrew and Peter. He says, come and follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. Doesn't sound like much of a challenge, but look what they had to do this. They left their nets at once and they followed Jesus. They left their way. All they knew was fishing. That was their livelihood. They go, they fish, they make money, they provide. You see what I'm saying? So what they had to do was they had to actually leave their own way. It's all the same thing with the challenge, with the invitation, they had to leave it. And it wasn't just a simple yes. Actually, the rich man, he didn't follow Jesus. It was too much. The challenge was too much. And I think the difference is, like, as I was reading through these, I was like, you know, if you were to just break it down, what is Jesus asking us to do? He's asking us to leave the known and step into the unknown. And, you know, sometimes our known can be quite horrible, but at least it's known. Sometimes the worst thing we're in, it can be known, but there's a comfort to that horrible known. Am I making sense? Rather than step into the unknown. And I honestly don't even think that's the best way to put it. As I was thinking through this, here's another way. Instead of from the known to the unknown, it's stepping from a perceived present into a promised future. Because if it's an unknown future, that means Jesus doesn't know what it is. And he knows exactly what it is. It's just unknown to me. It's just unknown to you. So it's stepping from this perceived present into this promised future. Stepping from the unknown and into the known. And there is a list of promises that we could spend the next 30 minutes talking about. But I'm just gonna give you maybe five really quick. Just when I was thinking, for me, what does it look like? It's stepping into a life full of direction, purpose, fulfillment, abundance, and joy. And it goes on and on and on. Is it gonna be easy all the time? No. Is it gonna be simple all the time? No. Is it gonna be great all the time? Sometimes not so much. But on the other side of every one of those valleys, man, there's gonna be beautiful places where God's gonna come in and bring direction and purpose and fulfillment. Everybody with me? Yes. You know, for me, there was a season before I was a Christ follower, before Jesus was part of my story. There was a time when I could be, you know, we would attend church every now and then, we would attend because it was the thing to do. But I could feel God. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just knew I would get really emotional. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I kind of like it and I kind of don't, you know? And what I found out on the other side, it was God actually drawing me in. And I didn't know, it was unknown. I didn't know what that was. But let me tell you, I had enough sense or whatever it was. It was enough. I knew that my way of living, it wasn't horrible. Like it wasn't like I was miserable at the end of my rope or anything like that. But I knew what this invitation was. I could feel this. But the challenge I felt was, if I do this, I definitely can't do this. I can't live this way. I can't talk that way. I can't. And so my mind was, I think I want to do this if I could just get this stuff figured out. If I could just change all this. The problem was I was already trying to change that and it wasn't working. So there came a day, but see, I didn't realize what he was saying was, Dale, just take a step here and what I'm going to come in and I'm going to transform you by the renewing of your mind. All right. And let me tell you what happens there. I thought a certain way about my life. And he says, listen, just take a step this way and I'm gonna renew your mind and you're gonna think differently. You're gonna think about the things you do differently. You're gonna think about the things you say. So now the pressure's not on me because he's just gonna change my mind. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Of course I wanna do this because he's transformed me by the renewing of my mind. And it was just the way I was gonna look at things. And so he had created me for abundant life. And so the choice I ended up having is the same choice that you have, we all have today, is I can live a me-designed life, or I can live a God-designed life. And again, for us, this is unknown. A lot of promises there, but it's unknown. But I can tell you this, 27 years into this thing, whew, what an adventure. I mean, and it's like it's not even over, you know? He's like, there's so much more. So I can't tell you exactly what your journey will be when you take that step and accept that invitation and accept that challenge. But here's what I can tell you, because I think it's gonna look a little different. But as a way of just a recap of the last few weeks, I'm just gonna tell you some things that it will include, because this is what we've hit every week over the last 6 weeks during this series. It's gonna include Jesus, all right? Because we're talking about the way of Jesus, talking about the way of a disciple. The second thing it's gonna include is devotion. And you know as well as I do, we're all devoted to something, right? Or some things, but it's gonna be a devotion to Jesus, so it's gonna include that. It's gonna include surrender. We just read about it. Give up your way, surrender, and then go the way that God has for us. Surrender. The next one's gonna be formation. Allowing God to transform me by the renewing of my mind instead of allowing the world to conform me to fit what it has for me. Because the world has nothing for me. All right, so it's gonna be formation. And then the next one is the Spirit, being Spirit-led. So when you say yes and you take that step into the way of a disciple and following Jesus, there's gonna be a Spirit-led life. And then the last one up to today is mission. Living a life of mission on mission. And I know that's broad, but that excites me. I don't wanna live another day just to live another day, you know? There's nothing exciting or drawing to me. Like I wanna live a life of mission and I wanna live a life on mission. And so what I wanna do is I wanna add one more thing to that list. Here in the last part of this series, and it's the way of a disciple is the way of connection. And I'm just gonna be real because that's the only way I know to be. Y'all know me. I struggled with that word. What I almost wanted to say was community. But if you've been here a little bit, when you hear the word community, you think the way, like we talk about life is better together and it's core value. But when you hear community, you think small group. You think serve team, you think something like that. I'm like, okay, I gotta use a different word. And this actually isn't my favorite word for this. I'm gonna get to that in a little bit. It just doesn't sound as good as far as the subtitle for a message. So I'm gonna get to that in a moment. But it's the way of connection. And here's what I'm talking about when I say that. It's the difference between walking this journey, following Jesus with someone versus walking it in complete isolation. There's gotta be a connection. There doesn't have to be, but I'm telling you, it's gonna be miserable without some sort a connection. Because let me tell you, it is wild to me that the enemy's got all these different tactics. He wants to throw us off of our trail, throw us off our path that God has for us. But one of those things is isolation. Anybody else just like the enemy wants you to isolate from people? One person in the room. Great. Thank you so much for being honest. Jeez. It's like the minute I start struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever, the first thing I want to do, y'all, is kind of just Let me just not get around them right now because I'm just not in the best of play. Now, if I were to ask you again, I'm gonna get more hands, but I'm not gonna give you that chance because you've already had your chance to raise your hand and be a part of this. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus lived life. He did this thing in community. Now, I know there's times he went and spent time with the Father, but he came back to the disciples. He came back with larger groups of people. He spent time with community and in connection. And I'm all about small groups. Like we need to do life together. Small groups, support groups, whatever that looks like for you. Friends, friend groups, all those things. But you realize, now no small groups here would do this, but you realize you can have friends. You can live this whole life with friends, with a support group, with a small group, and Jesus not be in the picture at all. You get that? Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. That's why I really wanna just give a different word, just this idea of connection, because it's another thing to be on a disciple's journey along with someone else. It's not a private Christianity. You realize some people try to live this private Christianity. They'll get up in the morning, they'll spend time in God's word, and they'll go wherever they go throughout the day, and no one has any idea that they're a follower of Jesus. They're trying to live this thing in isolation. But man, just imagine this. Imagine walking together as you find and follow and become like Jesus. If we actually did that together, instead of me, oh, I found Jesus, now I'm gonna separate myself from the world and go figure this thing out. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Just kind of walking together in that connection, doing that together. So that's what Jesus did. We've been talking about it. He brought others along with him. And I'm going to take an on-purpose rabbit trail for just a second, because as I was looking through this and just looking at the way he did this, he didn't just bring people along with him. First thing he did is he brought something to people. He didn't just walk up and say, hey, come follow me. No, no, no. The first thing he did, he brought something to people. He brought the kingdom of God to people. He was the literal presence of God, the kingdom of God. That was his message when he would preach. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he would bring himself, the gospel. He would bring the good news to other people. And so basically what he did was evangelism. And that word, that's really part of the way of a disciple. Now, I know that that word is a word that means a lot of different people, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So a quick little definition, listen to this. The spreading of the good news by public preaching and personal witness, okay? Now, when I say public preaching, 99% of you are like, not for me, pal. I'm not evangelizing nothing, ever. No good news am I gonna publicly, because we think this, our street corner. If you do that, that's great, but nope, not me. All right, you with me? But listen, I love the other part, our personal witness. Jesus preached amazing sermons that we read, we learn from, we preach about, right? But look at the life he lived. Look at how loud that spoke. That was his personal witness. As he's following the Father, just some things that it included. Listen, his life preaching, sitting and eating with others, with those that others despised. That spoke volumes. Everybody else despised him, but he would go sit and have a meal with them, and that spoke volumes. You know what? I can do that. I can go have a meal with somebody. Another thing, he accepted those that others rejected. You know what's kind of crazy? That's actually kind of easy for me. The public preaching thing, not so much, but this, yeah, I can do that. The next one, loving and extending grace to his enemies. That's not easy for me, I'm gonna be honest, that's a tough one. But that's just that witness, that's just living this thing out. Again, we're talking about following the way of Jesus. And then one more, serving those who by all accounts should have been serving him. And for us, it wasn't a thing for him, but for us, it's just laying some pride down and serving others. Maybe younger that you may think, they should be serving me right now. But what if you just served them? So the way of Jesus was first bringing the good news to people, but then, he's bringing people with him. So it's not just the way of connection. Listen to this. This is the word that didn't sound great, but it's the way of bringing someone along with you. It's just a way of bringing someone along with you and allowing yourself to be brought along with somebody else. That's the way of connection. I think it's such a big deal because that's the way Jesus made disciples. He said, come on, follow me. He brought them with him. And for 3 years, he made disciples. And the whole time, this whole series, I've been hearing that word made. And somebody may be thinking, I don't want anybody to make me do anything, you know? But listen, he didn't do that. And he's not going to do that. It was an invitation. And some said no, and he didn't make them. But some said yes, and he said, all right, now I'm gonna make you into a disciple. I can't remember a specific time that this happened, but I feel like this happened so many times in my life, where somebody would look at me and say, I'm gonna make something out of you yet, Dale. You ever had somebody say that? And you could look at that like, I was doing so horribly. They're like, I'm not giving up on you, pal. I'm gonna make, but for me, that spoke value. They're not gonna give up on me. I don't have it figured out yet, but they're gonna make something out of me. They're gonna stick with me. And what they're gonna do is the same thing Jesus did. They're gonna call me up and they're gonna call me out. Or they're gonna call me out and they're gonna call me up. This is what Jesus did. Listen, he called the disciples out of themselves and up to him. And you can't do that if you're not bringing somebody with you or if somebody's not bringing you. What are you doing? You're trying to follow Jesus all by yourself. Like this is, we have to have that connection. So we're calling people up or out of themselves and we're calling them up to Jesus, out of the known and into the unknown, out of the perceived and into the promised. Would we all agree that's what Jesus did? All right, and we're talking about the way of Jesus, the way of a disciple, the way of a follower of Jesus. Now I'm gonna read a story. It's gonna be a few verses, but I'm gonna show you another example of this. And it's in Acts chapter 9. Many of you are familiar with a guy named Paul, Apostle Paul, and he wrote a lot of the majority of the New Testament, okay? But listen to this, and we say this pretty quick a lot of times, but let's slow down. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was a murderer, and his name was Saul. So the guy that wrote the majority of the New Testament that you read and pray over and pray through, before he was an apostle, he was a murderer. Okay, just as long as you got that. God is so good, right? Whew. Jeez. I mean, we could just have a little more worship. Golly. But we're not. Here we go. All right. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. Every breath was a threat. Listen to this guy. And was eager to kill the Lord's followers. I'm trying to get you to be a follower. He's killing them all. Listen to this. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains as he was approaching Damascus on his mission. A light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless because they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. Listen, you could basically say Saul found Jesus right there. A disciple is one who finds, follows, and becomes like Jesus. He just found Jesus. If he didn't hear Jesus' voice, then he found lightning and it knocked him off his horse and made him blind. Listen, don't speed past this. God had a plan. Saul was living out his known present, his known future. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to kill Christians, and Jesus said, no, I got an unknown plan to you. I've got a promise to make to you, and I'm gonna help you find me. He helped me find him, but not this way. You know what I mean? Like Paul found him, and notice what Saul at the time found him, but notice what he didn't do. The realization of Jesus, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, it is Jesus. Oh yeah, okay, good." And go on about his way killing Christians. Everything changed. He didn't pray a prayer and then go on about his life as it always was. It stopped everything. Now you're saying, "Well, that was a little drastic. He was blind." Yeah, but he changed his way because he started going away. He didn't know. All he knew was this way, but he found Jesus. So we're gonna go on a little bit further. Afterward, he ate some food, he regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately, just say that with me, immediately. Immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." Let me tell you what just happened. Now he's found Jesus, now he's following Jesus. He doesn't go through this 5, 6, 7, 10 years of, "Oh, Jesus, teach me the way," and the, you know, like, no. Immediately, I don't know where we get this idea that we have to find Jesus and just sit on the bench for 5 years to figure this thing out. He just jumped right in there after it. I'm gonna go on down to verse 26. He was preaching and lives were being changed. God was using him right then. This murderer that found Jesus, God said, "I'm gonna go ahead and use you right away. I'm not gonna wait." Lives were being changed, but some believers were actually scared of him because he had a history. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They thought he was faking it. He said, he's gonna draw us in and he's gonna persecute us. We're scared. They didn't believe he had truly become a believer. Then look what happens. A couple verses later, then Barnabas, another follower of Jesus shows up on the scene. And here's that word, he brought him. Paul was doing good things, nothing wrong with what he was doing, but he was having some issues. But Barnabas comes in, Barnabas has got some influence. He's just a little bit ahead, and he said, hey, come on with me. You're doing great things. I'm not dogging you, but come on, let's do this thing. So Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So what he was basically doing right there, he was coming along, he was vouching for him. He was vouching for him. Barnabas wasn't trying to do an isolated following, an isolated Christianity. He said, you know what? God led him to Paul, and what he did is he come alongside and he's taking him with him. He brought him with him. It's the way of a disciple is the way of bringing. So now what's happening, Paul is actually about to become. If we jump down two chapters later, let me show you another picture. Barnabas went to Tarsus. Some things have happened over the last two chapters. Saul went to Tarsus. Barnabas went to Tarsus looking for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Great things happened. I'm just going to move on. Listen, what I want you to know is he come alongside and he started bringing him with him. Now Paul is becoming. He's spending time with the church. He's preaching. He's being trained. But he's still doing. He's not waiting to do. He's doing and he's being trained the whole time. And here's what I love. I don't think God made Barnabas go get Paul. I think he just let him. I don't think he made Paul follow Barnabas. He just let him. Hey, this guy's going to be there. In week five, one of the points we made, we were talking about the way of disciples, the way of being spirit-led. Walking in the spirit leads to others benefiting from your life. Because Barnabas, this disciple, was willing to walk in the way of the spirit, allow God to lead him. Now Paul was benefiting from his life. And if you fast forward to chapter 16, you'll see that Paul heard about this other disciple, a boy named Timothy. And you can go on and read what it says, Paul went to him and he brought him along. So now Barnabas is bringing Paul. They're doing this thing in connection. Paul said, I'm gonna bring Timothy. And let me show you what this creates. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, you can go to either one. Look in the second verse of 1st or 2nd Timothy. And here's what you'll find. Paul's writing a letter to Timothy, and this is how he greets him. He says to Timothy, my dear son in the faith. I want you to feel that. Now he's not just another guy doing ministry with him. He brought him along. He said, my dear son in the faith. If you've been around church any amount of time, it's been a few years. But a lot of people, brother, sister, Brother Dale, Sister Leanne, And it actually got where it's a little creepy. But when you've got this kind of relationship, it's not creepy at all. I'm telling you, I have had people throughout these 27 years of following Jesus that have called me out of myself and up to Jesus so many times. Many of you know Pastor Hewitt, one of our pastors from South Africa, thick accent, beautiful. And he's always Pastor Hewitt to me. He'll always be, that's just who he's gonna be. But he's like a spiritual father. But he, every time he greets me or whatever, he's gonna say, Brother Dale. And I'm telling you, I feel it every time. Like, I'm not Pastor Dale of that. Man, I'm Brother Dale, And hopefully he considers me a son. He brought me on a care visit one time. He was gonna visit a guy that was bedridden. And oh my gosh, I gotta go fast with this story. He took me along. And the guy's wife brought us back in the bedroom, and he had just had a way of speaking life. Pastor Hewitt has a way of speaking life, and he's like, "Brother, next time I come, you're going to be out of this bed. You're going to make me coffee." I'm we're in this bedroom, and I'm like, "Yeah." I was like his hype man. I didn't say it out loud, but inside, I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Brother, we're going to pray, and you're going to be healed." I'm like, "Yeah." And you're going to stand up, and yeah. Man, everything's gonna change. I'm just like, Brother Dale, you ready? Yeah. And he looks at me and he goes, and Pastor Hewitt can pray the paint off the walls. Like he prays for you and that person gets saved. You know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, yeah. And you know what he did? He said, pray for him. And I'm like, what? Listen to what he did. He invited me and he challenged me and I prayed for the man. Now, did I feel confident? Nope, not at all. And you don't feel confident. You don't feel qualified. I get that. But let me tell you, it's that whole, just, we gotta trust. It's an unknown journey. It's a promised journey. Beautiful things are gonna happen. I'm gonna go so fast right here. Listen, can we just trust God with where he wants to take us, all right? Because the beautiful thing is, like you find that person that you can follow and you can learn from. If we were in a perfect world, there'd be Barnabases coming knocking on your door every day. We're not, because we took our foot off the gas as far as church, the church. We dropped the ball a little bit, but that's okay because it's not too late. But here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go find some Barnabases, find those that are a step or two in front of us. We're gonna follow them. We're gonna watch them. We're gonna learn from them. And at some point, they're gonna invite us or get tired of us and run us off, okay? But here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do like Paul did Timothy. Hey, come on. We're gonna bring some other people with us. You may be like, all I have is my little life. I don't know anybody. I'm gonna show you a really quick tool. It's gonna be so fast. I showed this the other day. Throw that tool up there. This is the crowd cloud. I wanna give you an idea of who's in your world. Just think about this as you. Think about your family. Well, Dale, I'm not really close. They live in another country. Okay, a couple of them maybe live here. Who does that look like? Friends. Most of us have a friend group. Some of you have 12 friend groups. That's like 5 people in each one. Like, think of all those people there. Think about your neighbors. Some of you, like, I only know one neighbor. That's one more person that you can bring along with you on this journey as you walk it. Because I'm telling you, God's gonna do some amazing things in you. You don't wanna do this by yourself. Your school, I'm not in school. Okay, how about work? I'm not in work. Well, play. You all end up at the ball field. Right now, everybody's at the ball field. It's beautiful. And you got those people you sit around each and every week. Are they seeing the attributes of Jesus in you, through you? Anything about that? When they tell you that they're struggling, do you offer to pray for them at all? Can you bring somebody from their church? Why do people need that church? Because none of us have that at church. You serve with people. You're in a small group of people. You serve inside the walls, outside the walls. If you just take this, I'd almost dare you this week to take something like this and think about those 7 categories and list the people that are close to you in those 7 categories. You got more people than you can take on the journey with you. There's more people around you than you think. Now guys, I'm done. I'm gonna pray for you, but let me tell you, what do you do with this? I wanted to say, all of this is on the other side of your yes. But it's a yes with your heart. It's not even a yes with your mouth. Because what every disciple did that we read the story about, those that follow Jesus, they left, they took a step. So I guess all this is on the other side of your step toward Jesus. What about the second step? I don't know, that's between you and Jesus. What is that gonna look like? I told you some things it's gonna include. We're talking about the way of a disciple. Some of us are gonna say, Dale, I'm good with just finding him and I'm gonna stay right here. And you have that right. Over the next year, you're probably gonna be a little uncomfortable here. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like we want you here. I'm just saying we're gonna be going deeper. And stay wide at the same time. Like the doors are open, but God wants to do some stuff, not just through the church, but through you, through me. And it's gonna happen when we're on that journey with him. And I'm telling you, if you can't trust him yet, trust me, it's more than you could ask, think, or even imagine. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, I left my way. And he just unfolds a new way every single day. Beautiful invitation. Always a challenging challenge, but it's so fulfilling. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for the opportunity. God, that you are still, all these years later, you're still inviting us to find you. You're still inviting us to follow you. You're still inviting us to become more and more like you. And then challenging us the whole way, and then willing to send us into our communities and willing to send us into the areas of our life where we can make a difference and live a fulfilled life. God, we bless you. We honor you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for everybody here. I pray, God, you'll remove any and every obstacle that some of us may have put in the way where we're not trusting you to take that step in the way of a disciple. In Jesus' name,
Amen.